This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
The final score in Foxborough today, Patriots 51, Bears 23, and it wasn't even that close. The score gives the Bears more credit than I think they deserve in this game. The fact that they got 23 points in this game. It wasn't even that close. Wasn't even as close as much of a blowout. I mean, listen, ridiculous win today, but the Bears were downright awful today.
Good win for the Pats. We can't even blame Cutler. It's not like he turned it over six times, as somebody predicted.
No, only twice.
It didn't really have much
right.
of a impact.
I expected more out of the Bears offense for sure.
Me too.
So
it was underwhelming, their receivers. Utterly underwhelming.
I would agree.
Forte showed up.
He did. He had a nice touchdown. And the Bears now move to 3-5 on the year. Patriots move on to 6-2 and will prepare for their next big matchup next week against the Broncos. But this win today for the Patriots, could you call it a statement win? To start the six-game stretch? They certainly didn't have a letdown today.
What I didn't understand was all week why everybody was focused on Marshall and Jeffrey and how the Patriots are going to stop Bennett and Forte and all that, but no one wanted to talk about how the Bears were possibly going to get in the way of anything the Patriots wanted to do offensively. Did I expect 50 points? No. But I expected close to 40. I mean, 38 was what I picked. And I just didn't understand why anybody wasn't talking about how they were going to stop Gronkowski and how they were going to stop Brady.
No, it played out exactly how everybody predicted, basically.
Everybody basically
had a 30 to 20.
High 30s to low 20s.
The only thing
now,
it didn't have was
low 50s to low 20s.
But it didn't have Forte, I think, controlling the game like a lot of people thought he might, where you have a Jets game where they're just going to run and run and churn out 200 yards and churn out clock. And would that have mattered? I don't know. Probably not. But, you know, if the other team scores whatever it was the first six times they touched the ball, it doesn't really matter what you do.
Yeah, and that's defensively, that's why I thought the Patriots were going to win this game easily. It's because I know how many guys were. Chicago doesn't have a good defense to start with. They had a very bad defense last year, and a lot of those guys weren't even available to play in this game today, and they lost some more during the course of the game. I thought the Patriots had some momentum going offensively heading in, and they showed it. First drive of the game, boom, 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 touchdown. Game was never in doubt from that moment on.
And I'm now ready, as long as he's hydrated. This offense is ready to score 30 points when they need to because Gronk is full Gronk. Full-on Gronk is back. All the others, I'm not sure. I don't know about Edelman. I'm not sure that LaFell's going to give you 11 catches every week. But Gronk is back, and that's all that matters. I've seen historically, if I have 12 and 87, that equals victory. And that is full-on back, as long as he stays hydrated.
It's the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. It's time to get to the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
On the Patriots postgame show.
A blowout win for the Patriots today over the Bears. I'm calling it a blowout, Andy.
Okay, I would too.
This is a blowout.
I wouldn't be hesitant to throw that around. That was
a blowout,
son.
Blowout.
Blowed out.
They got blew out today by the Patriots.
If they hadn't kicked that field goal late, it could have been even better.
Blew out. So, with that, there's a lot of good. Tom Brady.
I think it's got to start
there. He got effed by Julian Edelman and Shane Vereen. You take those three drops out, the day's even more ridiculous. Right now, everybody's like, oh, he had five touchdowns and five incompletions. Should have had five touchdowns and two incompletions.
Should have.
So, Tom Brady, top of the list for the Patriots. Offensively, who else is on the list? I think Rob Gronkowski has to be.
Those two, to me, are what do we have? The good, the bad, and the hurt?
The injured, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're the re-goddamn-diculous great, and then there's some other goods to fill in with, like LaFell and other people. You know, Brandon Browner, if you want to say. We finally actually saw some coverage to go with the penalties and things. But to
Much
me, Gronk and Brady
down
were...
today for Browner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gronkowski, 9 catches on 9 targets, 3 touchdowns, 149 yards receiving.
And that last
too much
touchdown.
On Gronkowski today?
Why are you asking me that?
Yeah, not that wasn't directed toward you. Oh. It was more of a rhetorical
question.
Who
is that directed at? Who's that directed at?
No one. Never mind.
No, I don't
Bad
think
joke.
I don't think that they were too locked in on Gronkowski today. Brandon LaFell.
Yeah, I'm not even in on the joke.
It was a bad joke. Obviously, no one thought it was funny.
Oh.
There's been some complaints that he throws the ball to Gronkowski too much.
I've never been in that.
He needs to spread the ball around.
He could throw it to Gronkowski
every play. It was fine
that
LaFell and Gronk caught all the passes today. They couldn't stop it.
Yeah, I just take LaFell as the complimentary guy that he's becoming. I don't want to disrespect him. He's climbing into a nice role.
Emerging into a solid role.
But that last Gronk play,
I thought that was the game plan today was LaFell. I thought they wanted to pick on Fuller, who was banged up and didn't last very long in this game. And I think 6 of the catches came right off the go to LaFell, and the game was over. By the time he went to the sideline, the game was already over.
11 catches on 11 targets, 124 yards, and a touchdown for Brandon LaFell. Second, he was the leading receiver in terms of receptions today. And I would say for a couple of weeks now, we've seen Brandon LaFell become more involved.
Yep.
That's the way I feel. Second week in a row, it feels like he's getting more involved.
And even you had Wright in the second half, which was kind of garbage time. You know, Paul was... They're coming out spread at 38-7.
Well, I just didn't think it was the wisest course of action to get the clock running. And hopefully the Gronkowski situation is exactly what they said. It's just a dehydration issue. But
you questioning it?
I didn't see him again after that, so I don't like that. But I actually made the comment to Andy. I think that in retrospect, maybe what they were trying to do was get Brady and Tim Wright a chance to play some pitch and catch, because he must have caught 5 balls from Brady there in the third quarter. You know, nothing too special, nothing too fancy, but it worked. And you get him on him going with some of the two tight end looks, and that's another weapon for you.
How come we didn't want to get Amendola some looks with Brady?
It's a good point.
Poor Amendola. He's not even the garbage time target.
He did have 2 catches today.
He did.
He did. But he didn't exactly match what he did last week in terms of his factor.
No game balls this week. Last week was a game ball week.
No game ball for him.
But a game ball for Jonas Gray? You know, nothing spectacular, but
he ran well.
Ran well. Got 80, what did he get? I don't know, 80 something yards.
Had a nice run early on.
Nice run early on. Was productive. 5 and change for the day. You know, for someone like me who says you're going to have to run, you don't have anybody can run. Well, I still don't think you have anybody can run, but at least, you know, you got a little experience for him.
Yeah, the 19-yard run right out of the chute today at least put it in their head that they needed to, you know, respect it a little bit. And there were some play actions that came following that. So, yeah, I absolutely would put Gray in the good category today.
The first 6 Patriots drives were good. They went like this.
No, there was a field goal in there somewhere.
Touchdown, field goal.
It was their own fault.
Touchdown, 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 touchdown. Those were the first 6 drives for the Patriots. They first punted with 2:18 to go. I'm sorry, I have that time completely wrong. With about 4.5 minutes to go in the third quarter was the first time they punted.
Yeah.
They then followed that up with 2 drives of field goals. So all but 1 drive on the day, and if you count the last drive with the end of the game, you don't count that.
So the bad was the offense kind of struggled in the second half.
Yeah, I guess so.
Couldn't maintain, finish.
Yeah.
Play 60 minutes.
Inconsistent today, Andy. Really? I mean, where was the consistency in the second half? They just couldn't keep up the pace from the first half. That's how it went.
Offensive line pretty good?
I thought the offensive line was good again. You know,
you changed it again, and even within the game you changed it again.
Yeah, I thought it was good today. I think that might have been the best performance, I think, today. I didn't really think Brady was under much pressure.
I didn't even hear Willie Young's name.
I don't think Brady was under much pressure in any path. I mean, last week I thought Brady kind of ran for his life. I didn't think that today.
Willie Young can go back to being a guy I've never heard of and think is irrelevant.
Yeah, I didn't see much pressure by Chicago today. I thought they were very good. They continue to tinker with Marcus Cannon going out there, and I don't really get that. And if you wanted to really nitpick, maybe too many penalties by offensive linemen.
Easy, we haven't gotten to the bad yet.
No, I'm assessing the offensive line as a good. And I think
we don't have too many bad, so we can't use
that
much material.
I think that was really, I think they were at a really good performance today by those guys up front.
So let's shift to the defense a little bit. It seemed like Brandon Browner came out of the gate ready to play today.
And looked like he could actually compete and not lose his wind and start sucking.
He looked like a different player today than what we saw against the
his
Jets.
Wind, by the way.
He looked like a different player.
Yeah. No, he was physical, but actually in a competitive way, not always a kind of a penalty way.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that was all conditioning. I think that overtook him. And people, you know, like high school coaches say, you know, when you get tired, your mind or your body or whatever they tell you starts to sort of cheat on you and you can't do it. I think that's what he was last week. This week, I thought you saw a big competitive physical corner. Some of it against the receivers, some of it against Bennett. So I'm intrigued to see where that's going to go as it builds moving forward. I think the whole secondary was sort of interesting today. We talked about it pregame, no Dennard. We saw a lot of Logan Ryan. We saw some of the extra safety look. We didn't see, again, much Kyle Arrington. Paul and I were talking about that. Yeah. He was out there late. It's just sort of interesting how the roles are coming together in the secondary.
And I thought that maybe he had been banged up, but then, as Andy pointed out, we see him out there late, so that probably isn't the case. Yeah, it's that. I actually thought Arrington played reasonably well the first month or so of the season in the slot.
Jamie Collins today finished with the most tackles on the team with 11. With 11 today. But I thought he played better this week than he did a week ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody played better. You weren't giving up all those yards and all the extra after contact stuff.
It looked a lot different today than
it
did
last
week.
It wasn't hard to play better than some of those guys
right.
played last week. But I thought there was a noticeable improvement there.
Okay. Coverage, I thought
heading
he was
right
trailing
direction.
Early on crossing pattern, and then obviously he gave up the touchdown to Forte, where part of it was certainly that Cutler had too much time, kind of rolled out and was able to loft it up nicely. But yeah, I'll give it a step forward for pretty much everybody on the defensive front. You know, Zach Moore got some playing time, got involved. Rob Ninkovich, sort of a Ninkovichian play there.
Always in the right
the fumble.
Spot. He's just always in the right spot.
And he had some other plays. He had a nice tackle for a loss at one point. We saw a sack by Easley. We saw a sack by Ayers. Not that it was great or not that they were these, you know, Chandler Jones-esque.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to be scrappy up front. They're going to have to do some of that where one guy pressures and the other guy's in the right spot to clean it up. If he's not in the right spot, they're going to have problems.
You know what they did, I thought, effectively is what Andy and I talked about before the game is one of the keys. I thought they kept things in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any guys shaking loose. There was a broken play touchdown that Forte got behind Jamie Collins, really torched Jamie Collins. But that wasn't by design. It was not a traditional play. And I'm not excusing and say, well, that doesn't count. I'm simply saying they didn't let Marshall and Jeffrey get downfield at all, and Cutler didn't seem to be able to take a lot of shots. And they kept it in front. They set up some third downs. And when you do that, eventually you get off the field against a bad team. And I'm sorry, but Chicago's a bad team, and they showed that today.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you if you want to jump on board. 855-PATS-500. Share your thoughts on this game. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And if you want to tweet us, you can always tweet Andy. He's on Twitter the most during this program, at Jumbo Hart. You're on Twitter the most. Paul never tweets.
I was tweeting throughout the game.
Yeah, tweet more, Paul. At
Paul does tweet Paul. During the game quite a bit.
Yeah, he does. The rest of the week, though. Where are you the rest of the week?
I can't tweet. I can't.
There we go. He can't tweet.
I can't tweet what I would tweet. You know, stuff that I would find interesting and, you know, sort of entertaining is
yeah.
stuff that probably would get me in trouble.
So
like I'm not a hey, Patriots just scored a touchdown. They're now leading, you know, 51-23 tweeter. I'm not. I think everybody's watching.
That's a boring tweet.
Right. I'm not one of, you know.
No, what you tweet is.
I want your keen insight and analysis.
You know, there's a couple today that Andy was trying to goad me into.
He backspaced a few now. I'm not going to say
I started a couple and stopped them. And like, I'm just stuff that I think I'm going to get in trouble. Yes, guilty of that.
All right. Is there any bad from this game?
Yeah, hell yeah.
What do you want to get to?
Brian Stork. Multiple false
okay.
starts from the guy who actually starts the play and also a holding call. So he needs to get that under wraps. And I actually, it's almost like he had a tick a couple times. I don't know if he's trying to be a wily veteran and draw guys off, mm-hmm. but he was moving his left hand a couple times, like, and he got called for it. I thought Brady should have got called for one, actually. Actually, I think it was on the controversial.
Talk about stuff that you shouldn't tweet.
Right.
on the controversial Gronkowski touchdown, which I think wasn't a touchdown. I thought that should have been reversed. But I thought Brady did. It's a point of emphasis this year to watch the center and the quarterbacks for the bobs and the movement. And I thought Brady got away with it a little bit. But I'd say that's one of the few bads. I would say that Julian Edelman as a receiver was on the downside. I mentioned it earlier that he had two of Brady's incompletions as drops, although he did chip in with that punt return down the sideline to set up one of those scores late
42
in the half,
yard, yeah.
In which Jonas Gray had a nice block. Fred Kirsch will want me to make sure I point out. And I thought tackling was a little bit of an issue at times. Paul and I were talking about it in the secondary. They kept most things in front, but Logan Ryan continues to be a suspect tackler. That is just not a forte of his going against the best unit in there. Devin McCourty had some missed tackles. Jamie Collins had the missed sack. And as I wrote on the Stockwatch on Patriots.com, that doesn't show up. That doesn't matter when you're winning 51 to whatever, 25. That matters when you play a team like the Colts and you're in a dogfight. You miss a tackle, a first down. First down.
Yeah.
It matters in tight games.
No, I think you're right. And I think that it did show up.
Frog in my throat.
And especially when your game plan is to keep everything in front, it's incumbent upon you to tackle to make sure they don't get the first downs.
See.
And there were times today. Now
we're nitpicking.
Yeah, it's a definite nitpick because for the most part it was in the second half, I thought. The shoddy tackling and it was kind of garbage time.
Steelers got their bumblebees on today.
What did you guys think of the sequence as we talk about some things to be critical of?
Are we on the bad now?
Yeah, we're doing bad.
Hated it. Hated it.
Wait, what I'm about to say?
Yes.
Hated it.
The second drive. They get the first drive, they take the ball right down the field, touchdown 7-0. Second drive, they get the ball right down the field, 14-0.
These were some of his tweets that he deleted.
So what happened was
hated it.
Here's what happened. The Patriots got down.
Hated it.
I don't know how many times they're going to do that this year, unsuccessfully.
On a third down play, it was third down 3, they ran, it was a pass to Vereen, they got a first down. So it was first and goal from the 2. They ran Vereen to the left for a 1-yard gain. Brady then tried to sneak and got nothing. Third down and 1. Third and goal to go from the 1. That was a Jonas Gray play.
Hey, you forgot about the timeout.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
Because the timeout is part of the lunacy of that whole sequence.
Yes. So there was, was there 8 or 9 seconds
9
left.
Seconds left. They called timeout. Because it would be tough to kick an extra point into a stiff wind.
And I thought, and that's what I immediately thought. I said, are they calling the timeout to keep the win?
I can't imagine any other reason, Beetle.
That had to be it.
Because they could have let the players.
Because if there was confusion, they could have let the time run out.
Didn't we win?
Right.
They weren't in danger of taking a delay game.
Early in the game, you don't need the timeout to plan the players.
No, but what I'm saying is it's not like there was confusion and they wanted to get it right, so they called timeout.
And it was only third down.
There was more time on the play clock than the game clock.
Right.
So they didn't have to call timeout to avoid the delay game.
This was clearly nothing more than I thought, they really want to keep the wind here. Okay.
They did. There was no
doubt. They wanted to keep the wind with them.
But they didn't keep the wind.
Well,
they failed again.
Because on third down, right? And I thought to myself, Paul, okay, if they want to keep the win, are they going to throw on third down? I thought they were going to throw. And then I also, this is all going through my head at the time. Well, if that's what they're doing, they're kind of telegraphing what the hell they're going to do here.
Now, do you share this with Jackie Britton?
Yes, I do.
Who you sit next to?
Yeah.
What does she say?
She just sits there and goes, So I'm like, well, wait a minute. You can ask Jackie. I'm like, well, wait, they're going to throw here? They're going to have to. If it's only third down and if they want to save the clock and save the win, they have to throw. And then they ran the ball again, and they got stuffed. So I don't know if that was like calling the timeout to make Chicago think they were throwing the football, and then they try to trick them by running the ball.
The bigger problem with me is the hurry-up nature. They get big plays deep in the red zone, like inside the 5, first down, and they've had a propensity this year to rush to the line to run the ball, and it almost has never worked. I'm not saying it hasn't been successful ever, but I'm telling you, more often than not, they get stuffed. And I think the reason you get stuffed is you're not ready. And in a situation like that...
Or you're not running your best play.
Right. In a situation like that, you're just carving the Bears up. The Bears had no answer for you. That you could have done anything if you just had it set up.
Should have been 14-0 there.
It should have been 14-0.
That's a bad... Put on the bad list, Paul.
It's a huge nitpick given the final score. But at the time, it was only 7-0. And by the way, you ended up going for it on fourth down and getting stopped and bailed out by a false start penalty. That had nothing to do with the play. It was a center false start. So the snap was off at the wrong time. I hated that whole sequence. I hated the timeout. And The fact that you couldn't the fact that you couldn't run the ball in on four tries from inside the 2 yard line to me was troubling. So that's an enormous nitpick.
Yeah, of course
I understand
it is.
That Patriots won the game 51-23.
Listen, it didn't matter in this game, but it's one of those things where
and they did it again, by the way.
I know they did.
Later in the game, they did the same thing. It was a hurry up, and Shane Vereen got stuffed for no gain, and then they threw the ball to Tim Wright for a touchdown on the next play.
It's the type of thing they got to learn from for a game that they're actually in and they're close and it's an important game. It didn't matter today. 51-23, your final. Blowout win. Tom Brady was ridiculous today. I think that's the takeaway story. There's no way he would not be your player of the game, so to speak, for this one. As he finished the day 30 of 35, 354 yards passing.
Do we have Tom on the line now?
That's what I thought he was setting up for. I swear to God, I thought he was setting up for tonight's guest.
You wish. You wish.
Well, yes, I wish.
Quarterback rating of 148.4.
That was Paul who said not really.
So while we
and not just this week, by the way, this is now four straight games over 100 passer rating here. It's 14 touchdowns and zero interceptions, I believe, in that four game stretch. Brady, the offense, Gronk, passing game, just hitting its stride here at the right time for potential shootouts.
And you know, that's 18-2 now, halfway through the season. It's 18-2. You know what that translates to, Andy?
36-4.
And you know what that was?
An average Tom Brady year.
2010.
Oh.
36-4.
Well.
Right?
I had no idea.
The 14-2.
I remember him throwing four.
36-4, I believe it was. MVP, right?
That's when they got their soul back after they traded Manning.
Good call. Manning.
Yeah. I mean,
Moss.
Moss was his name.
How did they get their soul back this year? What did they do?
I think that ship has sailed.
You'd have to ask that guy.
Now, that's another one of those tweets that I would have to delete.
Now, that guy wants them to give their soul up and go convince Vincent Jackson or Percy Harvin, right?
Right? Such a fraud take.
He's such an idiot.
Such a friggin' fraud. Yeah. All right, let's make sure we kick
He would
Randy
applaud
Moss.
Them because let it's me, aggressive.
Yeah, let me kick Randy Moss out of town, but then, no, let's make sure we go out and get a diva receiver because that's what I'm all about, being
aggressive.
Who's always hurt and produces less.
Yeah. Oh, I would attack the individual but not the team. Give me a break. Sorry, we're getting off track.
We are.
We're getting off track. Can't let that
this
get in
This is all
heads.
Fun and games. The Can't. Only downside to this game is that Rob Gronkowski was not on the playing surface on the sideline when it ended.
Okay, but do you think that was legit?
Yes. Do you have any trouble believing that Rob Gronkowski could be dehydrated? I don't.
Yeah, that's why I think it was kind of made up. Like, okay, his day's done. Get him out of here.
Well, why?
I'm not sure.
His
about
day could be
things.
Done on the sideline.
When you first said, do you think True. It was legit, I thought you meant, was it legit that the only reason why he left the field was due to dehydration? And I think Andy's saying yes, he thinks that's
oh,
legit.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, though, that, like, yeah, he yeah. was...
I have no reason to believe that's
or,
not legit.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it was something more significant
right.
than that.
That's my. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, no reason to believe that it's more significant
yeah,
than
okay,
that.
Guy's got a cramp, dehydrated, your day's done.
And everybody for him immediately... You know, press box. You know, as it happens when you get drunk the night before or something. Those were the types of things that were
Andy would have been
around.
Tweeting it if it were about anybody but Gronkowski.
Right.
No,
right.
Gronk is fine. And by the way, he ended on the perfect play for if you're going to have to leave a game to have that play be the one where that's traditional Gronk there. Break a tackle, run down the field, score, spike, boom.
I just wanted to mention that play earlier in the game, first half, when Brady threw to Gronkowski and he got stopped at the one.
Yes.
They were just showing that on the highlight reel from the game. Brady made a nice effort on that play to get out of the pocket and get moving and make that throw well, to
That's
him.
His thing.
Yeah.
That's his new thing.
And you know, he's got a renewed emphasis on that.
Well, no, I know everybody wants to mock him because he talked about it this week, but in all seriousness...
I'm not mocking
Paul,
him.
No, but Paul and I have been talking about it literally since OTAs. They have been doing drill after drill after drill on footwork, running... Throwing, doing things on the run. Remember, he even had that one day when he rolled out right and threw to a ball boy. It was just a QB drill, and he that's the best. Yeah, 12. Like he was cheering himself on, like half mocking but half like impressing himself. It has been a focus all summer to throw on the run. Now, some people
he called himself 12.
I forget. He
I think that's what it was.
He was talking to himself. Like
kind
he was
of funny.
You know how he yells like Grambo for Daniel Grammer? He was yelling at himself for a nice throw on the run. He was excited about it. And some people were wondering, is this just some drills for Jimmy Garoppolo? Because he is athletic. And, you know, when he plays, maybe that's a portion of the game plan. But McDaniels was pretty much on the record saying, no, we thought there were some times last year where Tom moving a little bit, throwing off balance, throwing off foot, could have made some plays, and that's an opportunity to make this offense better. And I think you're seeing it a little. And by the way, you may need it even more if your offensive line isn't necessarily a dominant offensive line.
Well, Andy, I think everyone in the league now in 2014 needs it more than probably ever before. It's kind of the way the game has gone. And it might just be a temporary trend, but a lot of quarterbacks in the league can move and can make plays.
But his is going to be like three steps, or, you know, like his is not going to be this dramatic. Like he said, staying in the pocket has served me quite well over my career. And what did he say? There's not a cell in my body that tells me to run.
But the game's in a different spot than when he started his career.
And we even saw it a couple weeks ago when the offensive line was more of a question, when they were rolling the pocket a little bit to give him some time and some space to throw.
Well, I think that's the part of it that's changed for him this year. It's not necessarily the state of the game, but it's the state of his protection.
Right.
And you get yourself in situations where it's a long – most of the time they're able to get the ball out of his hands very quickly now to combat – the situation with the offensive line. But that was a 3rd and 18 or a 3rd and 14. So 3rd and long. Cause there was a penalty on that. I think Stork might have had a penalty in there.
Probably.
That was a long yarded situation, and he bought time for that throw. I think it was a holding call on Stork. It might have been 3rd and 19. And that was a big play. You know, and he scrambled right up to the line of scrimmage too. He was right, did a good job, had good awareness of where he was on the field. And
3rd and 18.
3rd and 18.
Third and 18, yep.
So those are the kinds of plays that he's probably not just going to be able to stand back there and, you know, wait for someone to come open. He's going to have to make a play.
Let's get to the phones. 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. Andy, we're going to Australia. What do you say, bud? Right to Australia. We're going down under with Murray. Murray's on the line.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
G'day, mate.
What a good way to wake up on a Monday morning with a good Pats thrashing.
Ass-whooping time.
That's right. Fellas, I just want to go back to pre-season and earlier on this season. Do you think the boys went in a little bit unfit? Like, do you think Bill looks at it as a very long season now with lots and lots of injuries? Do you think he kept a little bit of the conditioning until the first couple of weeks of the season? Do you reckon that might explain the slow start?
No, I don't actually. I didn't think it was any different. I know some people around here, the Boston Globe was trying to paint it as they were actually doing more conditioning during the summer and trying to target the Miami game.
I didn't notice.
I saw conditioning that I've seen from them forever, that I see every team in summer camp. I thought it was pretty much in line with what they have always done conditioning-wise.
All right then, boys. Well, this sets us up good for a bit of a tough stretch now and probably sets us up for December, January, I think.
Yeah, that was a must-win to me. I think that was an extremely important game, Mark. You and I talked about it when Andy was doing his pregame hit on the Hub. I didn't feel like they could afford to lose to a bad team at home. You got to take care of business to the one sub 500 team that they're going to play in the next 6 weeks, and that was today. And they took care of business and then some.
Dominant. I was asked this question this week by a couple of people, and I don't know that this was being said anywhere, but they said, "Do you think there's a chance the Patriots overlook this game because they're thinking ahead to the Broncos?" And I said, no.
No.
I don't think that's the case at all. But they should approach it just like any other game. And, you know, even though it's the Bears, even though I think they're better than the Bears, and they know they have a tough stretch starting, it is a must win. And I think they came out and played like it was.
Plus,
they
think
beat the bag out of the Bears today.
Hard to have a trap game after you held on for dear life for a 27-25 victory. You know, right? I mean,
and you know what,
if you had
too
swaggered in after a blowout, maybe you'd say, okay, we got the Broncos coming up next week, but I don't know that there was a lot of swagger. When you get
you
the ball run down your bleeping throat.
You had to sit on that loss for 10 days.
Right. I just thank you to the Jets and Chris Ivory for running the ball down their throat. I think that eliminates any hiccup letdown.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it looked like they had the 10 days to sort of get up to speed with what they were missing, you know, because they only had 4 days to prepare for life without Mayo. They sort of got a chance to figure out exactly how they wanted to attack it. We talked, what might they do defensively? We saw some of those things. We saw Easley instead of Chris Jones. I sort of picked Chris Jones as the guy with Walker and Wilfork. It was Easley. He was more active today, by the way. I thought he showed up more today than he had in any other game.
And has a little celebration. Is that the first we saw of that?
Yeah, the little knock it out of the park thing.
Throw it up to himself and knock it out of the park. I'd like to see it more.
Well, at least he didn't hurt himself.
What are you going to say that for?
Because it was ridiculous, the Lamar Houston thing. I'm sorry.
That could happen to anyone.
If you want to celebrate in a regular game, Andy, and you get hurt, it's still going to elicit a chuckle when you hurt yourself getting in a celebration. But when you do it when you're down 111 points, I'm sorry. That's
exaggeration.
You deserve what happens to you. You get one sack against the backup quarterback when you're down, was it 48 to 23 at the time?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
I wanted to show it again, but I got vetoed.
You should, in the light of recent issues with game board operators, you should keep your
head
down.
That's the kind of stuff that actually Peyton got mad at. It was like the classless stuff that, you know, they were showing Philip Rivers on the sideline. That was really classless.
And you still played by a team onside kicking, calling timeouts, doing all that good stuff, down 58 points. I mean, sure.
Well, I don't care about the onside kick.
The onside kick is standard operating procedure. You're trying to get as many points as you can.
With 5 minutes left, down like four possessions?
Yeah.
Yes.
Calling timeouts.
Did you watch the Houston game last week? Stuff happens.
Should you quit?
Did you watch the Patriots game?
You quit
57 seconds?
Right. You quit when the other team quits. And Bill took Brady out and Trestman took Cutler out. That's generally the way it works in the pros.
Let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hi, Trey.
Hey, guys. How's it going, guys?
What's happening?
Great. Not as good as the team.
I got to flip it around.
Yeah, man. Okay. Great team win, man. I mean, the offense. Defense, special teams, everybody
all three
live pre-game out there.
Pre-game show, post-game show.
I got to call out here. So the picture he tried to paint on LaFell, we're not seeing it.
Yes, I have to be honest. Brandon LaFell that I've heard about and is not necessarily what I'm seeing. I think he's quicker and faster than the guy I was sold as a third string.
He's strong, man.
No, but I knew he was strong.
That's what he.
But
yeah.
People said he was like a backup tight end, a third tight end for Ron Rivera.
He's faster than that.
He's faster than that.
So
he's more athletic.
Remember, when you first got there, and he said that the ball gets to him a little bit different with Brady than it did with Cam Newton. Man, a Cam Newton, man, I look back at a lot of games that he played. He was throwing 95-mile-an-hour fastballs in the field. I mean, so you go drop those kind of balls.
I still
man.
Don't think he has great hands.
Today
he caught everything.
I'm taking the hands he got now. He's showing us now.
I think he was great today.
Great.
I think he was great today, and he continues to emerge, but I still think he has shaky hands.
And Brady certainly has a more catchable ball than Cam Newton. That is not even up for debate. I didn't watch all the drops, so I don't know if I can blame him, but that's sort of like when Algie Crumpler comes someplace and instead of having Michael Vick throw it at his shoe tops and catching it, he's hitting balls in the gut.
Yeah. I want to talk about, you remember how a lot of people talked about Revis wasn't looking good. Ronald wasn't looking good. I mean, if they're not in their comfort zone as far as, you know, of their strength, press man, I mean, they're not going to look good. I think if you keep those guys up in the receiver's faces, man, and let them stay aggressive and let them compete, I mean, you're going to see this kind of play week in and week out. I think we're going to be on to something with Brandon Brown. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a major shutdown corner, I mean, but I think we're on to something. All right, guys, I'll talk to you Tuesday.
All right, see you, Trey.
All right, Trey.
Thanks, Trey.
I agree. Finally, I have something to talk about that's positive, that's gameplay competitive related for Brandon Browner. I saw the man go out and do good things.
Played well today.
Right?
Yep.
This is the first time I can really say that.
Yeah. I mean, Revis didn't do anything different than what I've expected from Revis all along. But Browner today was better than he has been in practice.
And again, we said
last
this,
week.
Good matchup. Three big targets on the other side of the ball. So this is a better matchup for him. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in the coming weeks if he's matched up with less than ideal guys. You know, you have Demaryius Thomas. Well, what if he's on Emmanuel Sanders? What if some of those things come together? So we'll see moving forward, but I liked what I saw.
All right. Well,
did you not just give me a hand signal?
I did. Well, I was just
you gave me a hand signal. I stopped talking, and we have dead air.
You done now? You done now?
I was done before when you told me to be done when you gave me a big timeout.
All right. Well, we're going to go back to the phone lines now because joining us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline from the Patriots locker room after a 7-catch performance today would be tight end Tim Wright. Also had a touchdown in this one. Tim, congratulations on the win. Thanks for the time.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Tim, you got really involved in the offense there to open up the second half. Was that something you guys talked about at the break? Maybe because you came out, you had the big lead, and it was a lot of empty formations with five receivers. You were one of them, and all of a sudden you started catching a pass from Tom Brady, it seemed like on every play. Was that something you guys had talked about at the break?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, we always want to keep our foot on the pedal. You know, our mission is to start off fast every game. And, you know, whoever starts having that hot hand, that's who Brady usually goes to. And then, you know, once it just starts going, then everybody starts getting receptions and start getting the ball. So, you know, something that started going good for everybody, and then he started just opening up the field.
What did you see from Tom today? Because this was one of the most efficient days of his career. Obviously, when you have five touchdowns and only five incompletions on the day, you're rolling a little bit. You know, you've been here all year. You saw some, you know, struggles or slow days early in the season. What did you see today from number 12?
Man, he's just an operator. You know, all year I've been saying that, and, you know, I just believe in him. And, man, he's in the NFL, just going back from quarterback, you know, from a fan's point of view, but just, you know, I can kind of relate to what he's done, and just scanning the whole field and hitting the guy open.
Yeah, definitely.
Tim, can you still hear us?
Yes.
Okay. You've now you've been here, as Andy just said, for the season, and it seems like you're getting more and more involved as the season goes on. How comfortable are you operating in this Patriots offense?
It's starting to come along, man. Each week I dive right into the plays that we have for that particular game. My coaches do a great job of basically translating it to fit my young career here with, you know, the play calls and all of the nuances that go along, that, you know, his checks and all the quick things that he does at the line and catch me up to speed with. It's all coming along.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're having a hard time with the cell. Tim, you're still with us?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. Every time that we ask the question, he can hear us.
Right.
The answer's on
the ideal.
Great. I guess we'll try one more. You're a little disappointed you got your touchdown streak broke. It seemed like every catch you made was for a touchdown, and all of a sudden you started catching, you know, just regular first down catches.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, any catch I get, man, I'm very thankful for the opportunity, and I just try to go out there and be a craftsman on every play at the position that I play.
Tim, obviously, Rob Gronkowski was coming back from an injury, missed a lot of the summer. Safe to say that he looks like he's 100% now after sort of smashing and dashing, as he likes to call it, out there quite a bit today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. He's definitely coming along. And I wasn't really, I wasn't here yet for the process of him coming back. But since he's been back and since I've been here, he's just been a great player. He continues every week. The call, and I would say all our success contributes first off to God, and secondly to the coaches. I was just getting us ready and translate.
Definitely.
Tim, congratulations on the win today and the touchdown, and enjoy this one before you guys start getting ready for another big one next week.
Man, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Tim.
Tim Wright, right, joining us here on the Xbox One post-game show.
That was uncanny.
Yes,
that was uncanny. Funny. Every time we were talking, he could hear us clearly. He would answer us. We could hear him clearly.
Right, the little part.
And then we would ask the question. Okay. He would start answering, and that was it.
It's Giovanni's cell phone.
He's in a bad cell area. It's all right.
And definitely, you may be wondering, why wouldn't he just come down? Yes, he's about 20 feet away from us. That's a fair question.
I still wonder that every week.
He is. He's literally like right on the other side of the wall.
We should just be happy.
Yeah, they're not.
I'm not complaining. I mean, you know, it's
I'm not either.
It's not. I'm not going to do that.
And he's a nice man, by the way. I know fans didn't get a total sort of feel for his answers and interview there.
Rock solid.
He has been quite a pleasure to deal with in this couple months since he got here.
He is fitting in nicely. 7 catches today and a touchdown for Tim Wright. Our thanks to him for joining us here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you. We will catch up with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. We'll hear what they had to say at the podium after this big win today for the Patriots, and we'll get to more of your calls as well at 855-PATS-500 here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Yeah.
Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Talking about a big win for the Pats here today. Big one. It's a big one. They crush the Bears today here in Foxborough.
The Bears.
Big win for them. Now they have to go up against some good quarterbacks starting this coming week in Peyton Manning and the Broncos.
Indeed. Brady Manning, 16.
QB
XVI.
They match up again a week from today here in Foxborough.
I'm jacked. Because now I'm like,
it's going to be a fun week.
I was dubious of this offense. Even of late, I was a little dubious of this offense. I'm all in on the offense. They're ready for a shootout. I don't know if they'll win, but I think this offense can score points. I think they can put up legitimate points. What is this now? They were averaging 35 in their last three, so they're averaging over 40 in their last four, whatever the number is. Gronk's back. Assuming I don't see him on the, by the way, Wednesday injury report. The bottom will fall out of my prediction if that happens. But right now, assuming Gronk is fine and truly was just dehydrated, booyah.
Well, now that you say now that you say that, Andy, I want to read an email from Trey in Dallas. He writes, great win.
We have two Treys in the first, like, 10 minutes?
This is Trey in Dallas. Great win, and even though we got good production in the passing game today, I still think if you have a chance, you have to get Vincent Jackson and go for that. So...
Yeah, I do too.
How do you feel about that based on what you saw today? Because this
we're talking about a different guy. My bad. Vincent Jackson, I don't think they have to go all in to get. I don't think that. I think that would help your offense. I personally kind of agree with Andy. I think that the steps that the offense has taken over the last few weeks, I think that this offense is good enough. I'm not as all in on the offense as Andy is. I think that, you know, I'd like to see them be a little bit more consistent. Now, today, you can't be any better than they were today. I mean, I'm not talking about today specifically.
Scored in the first six drives. Sorry, yeah. There was a field goal mixed in.
Touchdowns. I mean, it wasn't even just
No, there was
scoring.
One field goal, Paul.
Yeah, that was their own fault. The Bears did nothing to stop that. The Patriots. Belichick did everything to
so
stop that.
So you're with
the
me
Patriots.
Then. Shootout City, Brady,
no,
Manning,
no, that
16,
was today.
Baby.
I'm not willing to say that what you saw today. I told you that this defense was that bad.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not willing to say that
He's
that's
gonna break
what,
his arm,
what it's going to be every
back,
single
though.
Week. But I don't think you need, you know, Brandon LaFell, to me, this is a month now. Starting with the second half against Kansas City, I was skeptical. I thought it was garbage time. I wasn't willing to embrace everything I saw. But since then, he has been that other guy. Now, ironically, or coincidentally, I should say, it sort of coincided with, you know, Edelman kind of falling off a little bit.
Very funny. The offense hit its stride and Edelman stopped. It was when, remember when Brady said, Edelman was the only guy doing his job.
Right. Now he's
now
like
everybody
the only one
else
not
is
doing
their job, and he's dropping passes.
You know, and he's been quiet as of late. But I think if you look at the second half against Buffalo,
I'm still down on Vereen, though.
Yeah, listen, not everything is perfect, but Gronkowski is back, and that makes a lot of people look better. And
yes.
I think offensively they'll be fine. I don't think they'll just run up, you know, 40 points, 35 points against everybody.
No,
I think the offense is pretty good. I think the offense is pretty good.
Right.
And I don't think they need Vincent Jackson to, you know, get over the top offensively.
I don't either regular season. I would
now,
like
Doug
to have
Martin,
him as
I would I would take Doug Martin. I know there was a report that he was banged up today.
Yes.
I don't know if it's anything serious. But I would take Doug Martin because I don't feel like they have a running back. And I
Jonas?
Would take a running back. He was fine today. Doug, Jonas Gray, if
Gray
you could get that.
Gray's anatomy?
If you could get that kind of running out of him, you know, on a consistent basis, what do you have, 80 yards?
80-something, yeah.
86 yards? I mean, take that kind of production.
He had 47, I think, in the first quarter.
Well, he had 19 in the first play. So, yeah, he got off to a great start, and he averaged, I think, 5.5 a carry, something in that,
north of
that
five.
Neighborhood. I'd take that production any day. And I think that allowed you to use some play action stuff.
The great Paul Perillo spent all week telling me that's the worst defense of the history of football, that he put up those 5 yards of carry and 80 yards against.
Douglas.
And did anything you see dispute anything that I said? No further questions.
Never does, Paul. You're always right. No.
Douglas emails
that's your side of the street.
All the way from Brazil. He says you guys are global. He wants to know, I don't know if it's just me or is Jonas Gray, and then he puts big guns.
He does have big guns.
Is he way better than White and Bolden? Please tell me what you think. Love your show. Cheers from Brazil.
Not willing to say way better. Would I give him carries over those two? Yes.
I think he's more of a traditional running back than White, and I think nothing of Bolden, so yeah.
Bolden on special teams is becoming very consistent.
That's why he's here.
I know, but they used to say that's why he's here, and I didn't have very many plays to point to. In the last few weeks, he's actually had Matthew Slater, Don Jones-esque plays to point to. Now, Don Jones had one today, too, but...
I just like that you put Matthew Slater, Don Jones-esque plays to point to.
Brady, I mean, Belichick, you know, he was raving about Don Jones a couple weeks ago. There's another one of those helmets. I need to tap into our listeners.
Someone said they are concussion-related.
Okay.
Are
they sensors?
Moose, I think.
Are they sensors, or are they?
I'm not sure.
Have you seen these, Mr.
No,
Bertrand?
No, I'm looking now. Who
these helmets, somebody on the Raiders, 55 might. There are these little things on the front of the helmet. It's like an octagon or a stop sign shape thing built in.
Yeah, it is. It is a sensor thing.
Digital? Like sends a signal, or?
I don't know if I'm completely correct on this, but I want to say
throw it out there anyway.
I want to say it's a local company here in New England.
Zenith?
That is actually involved in it.
Because I know I had heard stuff about some helmets now have lights on them, and if you take a big hit, the light goes up and it tells the coach you should probably come out. But I haven't seen a ton on them. And there's only few and far. You know, it seems like there's one or two per game sometimes. Not a lot of people have them.
Yeah.
Probably not relevant
Moose,
to the Patriots
post-game
show.
Moose, I think, from Comcast threw that one out there, that they were concussion-related.
We'll look into that.
Okay.
We'll look into that.
We'll get
some more information.
Yeah, the simple fact remains. Patriots are ready for a shootout with the Broncos. Now, I'm saying they're ready to win a shootout with the Broncos, but they are ready to score some points.
The Broncos.
With the Broncos.
I was waiting
just wanted to complete that sentence.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting.
No, the Patriots are ready
to score some points.
Don't let's not start talking pronouns again, because this will get ugly and ugly fast.
Okay. No, we just thought that you were saying it dramatically on purpose like that. And then the last time, you kept saying with the Broncos.
No, I think I was kind of watching the Steelers game.
With the Broncos. Then all of a sudden, the last sentence, you didn't
say
with the Broncos.
I was waiting for the Broncos.
Oh.
Silvio in Seattle writes in, no gripes for me, fellas. We fired on all cylinders.
No gripes.
I think we might have a horse in Jonas Gray. Let's punch the Broncos in the mouth. Go,
Let's
Pats.
Pump the brakes on Jonas Gray.
Yeah, let's calm down.
Like, I want to see more. He's shown me a little, right? So you give him a couple more against maybe a better defense, and we'll see where it goes. But, I mean, a horse.
A horse.
You got the hosses. You got to ride
the
hosses.
You got to ride the right hosses to the victory.
So now we don't need... So you're telling me the performance today, you reevaluate how you go into the trading deadline. No longer is running back a need. We had Pro Football Talk reporting Patriots might be targeting a running back, but now, nope, we got Jonas Gray. We just table those thoughts. Don't need a running back anymore. We got Jonas.
No.
Jonas
I think they
Grays.
Need a running back. As I said, I mean, a quarter of his production came on the first play. I think that
you once told me you can't eliminate runs.
And I don't. I think I'll take what he did today every game. If I could be guaranteed that he could average 5 yards a carry and get around 80 yards every game, I don't need Doug Martin. I don't need Doug Martin. I'll take Jonas Gray.
He's also like a 1,300-yard back.
No, I understand that. But that's, I mean, I'm not
like
eliminating.
The best running back here since, I don't know,
but I'm
Corey
not,
Dillon.
But I'm not eliminating the play.
Right.
He made the play
today.
No,
I don't know.
You know,
sure.
Today, what I
against
got today.
What you told me was the worst defense in the history of football.
What I got today, if I could get every game, I would be more than happy
but
with.
But can you get
I'm not
that
eliminating the play.
A defense with a pulse.
Exactly.
As you would say.
All right, Andy,
and
I have
certainly
your
did not face one of those today.
I have your answer on the helmets. They are, in fact, concussion-related. It's Riddell Speedflex football helmets, and that octagon is a sensor at the front, the crown of the helmet. And the local angle was that Dartmouth College was originally one of the inventors of the technology. I knew there was a local angle there somewhere in New England. Dartmouth College was involved in inventing the head impact telemetry system, HITS.
HITS.
It's called. Yeah.
I love when people do that.
Telemetry.
So we want it to say HITS, so now we're going to figure out the four
telemetry
words.
System.
We'll just, since this has nothing to do with the Patriots, to bring it full circle and include the Patriots,
yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, but I don't believe any Patriots have them. I haven't seen them in the Patriots.
I can't remember one either. I would correct you if I could, because you know how I like to do so.
Oh, I know.
But I don't believe I can recall one for the Patriots.
And there you go.
So back to the phones.
That's what it is. Now you know. Back to the phones.
And knowing us after battle.
Let's do it. Let's go to Liam in North Carolina. Hi, Liam.
Woo! JFC, guys. That was a great win.
I hear you.
Glad to see it, that's for sure. Yeah, I envisioned that game going a heck of a lot different. I thought that the Bears would come in with a little bit of excitement, you know, but just didn't seem to happen. And it looks like midway through the season, they're in their mid-season form, the Patriots are, which is really, really good to see.
Well, the Patriots are always better later in the year than they are earlier in the year. It always works out for Tom and Bill. That's what Paul teaches me. And one of these days, I'm going to start listening to him.
I don't know why you sum it up like that.
Because you summed it up like that for me.
No, I haven't.
Hey, I'm glad Eldridge was kind of wrong. LaFell's looking pretty good.
LaFell's been great, I think, the last month. I think he's been a big part of the offense the last month.
And the tackle looked a lot better today, too. I know you guys said in the second half it was terrible, but that brings me to my one bad about the game besides Stork is you know, it seems to be whenever the Patriots have a big lead coming into a half, they just forget how to play the game, or they let up, or whatever it is. But the second half was terrible for the defense. They just seemed deflated, and they just didn't want to play. And, you know, a couple things could have gone the right way for the Bears, and it would have been a much different game.
Told you,
I just wish they
Are we talking about today's game?
I am.
I didn't see that at all.
Night and day between the first half and the second half.
They were up 45-7.
Andy, I think the Bears buses are leaving.
I think two of them left at halftime.
I think that was probably loud enough that our listeners could
hear. Yeah, there was a big horn right outside of our studios, and that's right where the Bears buses were. But I have to respectfully disagree. I thought the Patriots defensively did exactly what you want to do in the second half. Give them anything they want. Just keep the clock running. There's no way we can lose this game unless we let someone get behind us. I don't know. I don't know what people. I mean, people are just expecting 60 minutes of shutout football for a defense that A is not all that good to begin with, and B is missing two huge starters in Chandler Jones and Jerod Mayo. I thought that was an outstanding defensive performance.
I thought it was too. And you know, I thought also on top of that, I thought the Bears were going to be better offensively. They really did.
I thought
Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall were DNPs, crap.
I think Brandon Marshall quit, flat out quit.
Well, I was going to say, do you think that both of them quit and came into this game with an attitude of, we're not winning this one on the road? It seems like they're almost giving up on their season.
I don't know for sure that they did that, but listen, I felt that I understand where he's coming from.
Can they put Matt Forte on the trade market? Can they do that before Tuesday?
Oh, I'll take him.
That's a player I'd like to see.
Well, someone tweeted me before the game and said, after we beat the Bears today, you think they'll pack it in and maybe make Forte available? But yeah, I don't. Don't put him on the bus. Hold on. He's a guy that you build around.
Leave him.
He's a guy you build around.
We'll deal with that.
I just think that, and I know that he was all in on the win. I'm not criticizing the caller, but I would respectfully disagree with the characterization of the second half defense. I thought they played a soft shell of a zone and kept everything in front.
That's what you do at that point.
That's what you do when you're up 45-7. I think the opposite of letting that foot off the gas, the Patriots continued to hammer away, coming out five wide to open the second half and going six plays for a touchdown. And that was the long one for Gronk, right?
Yep.
Which was what, 40 what? 40-something yard touchdown pass to Gronk. I thought defensively they did exactly what you do when you have a big lead.
Let's go to Steve in Texas. Hi, Steve.
Hey, fellas. Well, it's nice to know that Andy and Paul are right. You know, we played a bad team and we basically spanked them. Question, though. Offensive line is finally looking like it's going to gel. Do you think we're going to have this set of players? Because Brady was actually protected. And for me, I'm just glad they brought the nasty. There are some awesome hits in this game. And the one that I was hoping would have happened that didn't was when, who was it? Was it Chris Jones that had the opportunity to lay Cutler out and just totally missed that?
No, that was Jamie Collins.
Jamie Collins had a potential sack that he missed.
Yes.
Yeah. I was expecting Cutler to get blowed up, as Andy would say on that one, and it just didn't happen, which made me a little sad. So.
Yeah, I thought tackling was one of the things that I'll be listing later on the stock watch as sort of a down. I thought the tackling could have been better and lumped it in with penalties. But again, you know, this defense, as Paul says, is going to be a bit of a transitional period.
Got to hold on a little bit.
Who is doing what and how and schemes. And I mean, you're without arguably the two most important players on the front seven.
You got big plays today.
You did.
From Akeem Ayers
and
from Zach Moore.
Stepped up, guys.
No, but I'm coming up with different players that you probably didn't know 2 weeks ago in Zach Moore and Akeem Ayers. And they came up with sacks today in the game. Now, I'm not saying they were big, you know, game-changing plays, but
they were involved.
That's what you're going to need. You're going to get. So I think expecting, you know, shutout performances, 23 points. I mean, that's what everybody thought was going to happen. Everybody thought high 30s to low 20s, except for Eric.
Right.
Who thought Chicago was going to win.
Steve, thanks for the call, man.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks.
Take care. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Corey is in Wisconsin. Corey, up next on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
Corey?
Hey, you know, I had to say my favorite performance in this game today, other than Tom Brady's 5 touchdowns, was the offensive line.
Excellent.
I thought they did a wonderful job protecting Tom Brady.
They did. And it's good to see it coming back together. We didn't mention, I don't think, just quick, that Conley actually left in the late third quarter, Paul, early fourth quarter.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was anything.
No, he was standing with Vollmer.
He was standing there on the sideline. But yeah.
Just something to be aware of. They brought in Klein at left guard. They kept Cannon had been rotating a little bit. He stayed in the remainder of the way, or almost the remainder of the way, significant time at right tackle. So you still even had 7 guys kind of filling out the lineup there. But this was another game where I think we're seeing the line that they're going to be, apparently, moving forward. And that's Solder, Conley, Stork, Ryan Wendell, for whatever I think of him, as your starting right guard, and then Vollmer at right tackle. And this was probably their best performance. And you could argue that pass rush is something that the Bears can actually do, with Lamar Houston, Jared Allen getting healthier, and the great Willie Young.
Yeah, I thought this, I agree with Andy. I thought this was the best performance by the offensive line.
I also thought that they did a really good job not giving away so many yards with penalties. I've noticed, especially in the last several weeks, you know, you're getting penalized left and right. It seemed like today they only had a couple and didn't give up very many.
Yeah, it was better. I still don't think it's clean enough.
They had more than you think.
It's not the 15 or the 12 that we've had in recent weeks, but I think they still had 6 or 7.
They had 6 through 3 quarters. I don't know if they had any in the fourth
quarter. Penalties.
6 for 34 yards in the first 3 quarters.
7 for 38 Patriots had.
So that's too many.
7 is still a pretty high number, especially for a team that needs a couple games to like balance it out with just 1 or 2.
Right.
They had so many of those 12 and 15. Now, you know, you're going to get some. You had I think Browner had 2, right? He had 1 that was called and 1 where they scored the touchdown on the great Bennett catch that was also called. Paul was pointing in the air, nodding.
I forgot about that one.
Right? He tackled him.
Absolutely.
But, yes, we're nitpicking, I think. The only thing I would say, that's what Belichick's going to do, and those are the things that are going to matter a hell of a lot more in the next 5 weeks against people named Manning, Rodgers, Luck, than they do right now against Cutler and the Bears.
I would agree. Completely agree. Just letting you finish your thought there, Andy.
Yeah, I was just getting... I think we have Red Zone on one channel and the Steelers actual game on the other, and we got a cop like the bullpen cop pumping his fist.
I
got to
say, can we make a quick comment on the Steelers today? Those uniforms are just wretched.
Did they just have a pick 6 or something?
Yes.
Oh, that's Indian serious trouble.
Going down big here, which is good news for the Patriots.
Yes.
That's good news for them.
Baltimore also lost today. That's good news for the Patriots as well.
But this is Andrew Luck, so give him some time. You could be looking at this game differently in the fourth quarter.
He has big comebacks.
He has some picks. He has some holes, and then all of a sudden you look up and he's competitive in the fourth quarter.
Bam!
That was
right
not a good throw.
let's take a timeout here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Before we do, I remind you: gear up for the season and shop the Patriots Pro Shop for the widest selection of jerseys, hats, tees, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, and Pro Shop Collection at Patriot Place are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or you can always shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Much more to come on the program. We'll hear from Tom Brady coming up next. Get to more of your thoughts on this game at 855-PATS-500. It's the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone. so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
4te to join Cutler in the backfield. Shotgun snap to the quarterback. Under pressure. Starts to run straight ahead. Wrapped up by Hightower. The ball's caught loose. Ninkovich has it at the 15. Robs on his feet. Runs it off a tackle at the 10. Ninkovich into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Defense! I tell you what, Matt Patricia better get a game ball today. And you better get ready, Denver.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Talking about a big win today over the Chicago Bears. Tom Brady was damn near perfect in we talked about this earlier, but he had some guys drop some balls on him. He had 5 incompletions today. It probably should have been, what, 2? Is that what, 3 drops? We had 1 Vereen, 1 Edelman.
Yeah, I had 3 drops, unofficially.
Unofficially. We'll have to go back and check the tape.
I'm sure Giardi and Bedard will let me know later in the week.
Of course. Yeah, ask Gasper. He'll know.
Gasper watches tape?
No, Gasper is a very pro-Brady guy. So if it serves his agenda to go back and watch the tape, he will.
Yeah, I would say he had 3 drops of his 5 incompletions. So pretty damn near perfect day. You think you can get 2 ones for him now? His hot streak here could probably help you at the deadline.
Yeah, 30 of 35, 354 passing, 5 touchdowns, quarterback rating of 148.4. Yeah, you could get a couple of firsts for him right now.
Would you do it?
Yeah, one for him, the player, one for the marketing. Right? Isn't that what it is? 1 and 1?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know the part of that that, you know, I know that we tend to drift off into the random things about your real show that, that get under our skin? Adam Schefter explained that whole thing and saying how he talked to somebody who said that, who brought that up, and then he said he talked to a number of...
He talked to someone in the league.
And he said he talked to a number of people in the league, and they all felt like he wouldn't get that. But they fixated on the fact that it was one for this and one for the marketing. But all the general managers that he talked to said they wouldn't be able to do that. And it just was odd. It was a very odd... Like, we're going to ignore the fact that Schefter said he talked to people who said that probably would be unrealistic and just say, really? One for marketing? That's stupid.
Got a pick for marketing in there. Make sure you put the marketing pick in. Brady today had a great day. Looked excellent out on the field. And here's what he had to say after the game, speaking with the media at Gillette Stadium.
That was pretty sweet. You made a... You know, he was a big-time player today, so it was great to get him going like that. Certainly, you know, running the ball was great. The guys up front played awesome. A lot of guys contributed, got great play defensively, so it's a lot of big plays, and we got a lot of momentum, so it was a fun day. Those don't happen like that very often. I mean, we have a week to prepare, so, you know, we'll kind of build our confidence throughout the week. They're a different team. Obviously, they're a good team. And, you know, we'll need a week to prepare for them. So it'll be a fun game next week.
You talked about LaFell and he's been coming on as of late, but today was a real breakout game for him.
Yeah, he made a bunch of plays. You know, his great catch and run ability. He's such a strong runner. And, you know, when you get the ball in his hands, good things happen, so. We got to keep finding ways to get on the ball. You know, Gronk did a great job. The backs did a great job. Danny made some plays. Jules did. Tim Wright did. So it was great to kind of get everybody in the flow and, you know, to score a lot of points like that. You know, we need that. That's what it's going to take.
What's up, Matt? Third touchdown, whatever. Really get and then separate down 50.
Yeah.
When you think of him as a ball player, is that kind of player? It sounds like he is.
And that's the way he's been since he got to our team, fortunately for us. So he's, you know, he's a tough matchup. He's just big, fast, strong. And when he plays, you know, like beast mode, he's tough to stop.
What's allowed Brandon to kind of turn the corner or kind of get more on the same page with you of late?
Just opportunity that he gets out there. So I think he's taking advantage of them. You know, when he gets a chance to make the play, he's making them. So. You know, I think with new players, sometimes you really don't know what someone's able to do in your offense until you actually get out there and do it and you make the plays, you know, in game-type situations. Because, you know, even like his run after catch ability, that doesn't show up in training camp because we're not tackling, you know. And it doesn't show up in a preseason game when you're not, I mean, maybe, you know, if he gets 2 catches a game, it's hard to tell. And then all of a sudden you see it, you know, over 8 games where he's doing it every week and becomes a big strength for your team. So. You know, he had great run after catch tonight. Gronk did. You know, Jules and Danny have. You know, backs all ran hard. And it always starts with offensive line, the way they protected, and they did, you know, a great job as always. So, you know, I give those guys a lot of credit, and they've worked really hard to get to the point we're at now. So to start 2-2, and now we're 6-2, and everything's ahead of us, you know, that's all you could ask for as a player.
Was there any point in the first quarter, first half, where you felt everything was going?
Yeah, well, we didn't punt there till the middle of the third quarter. So, you know, it felt good at halftime. Everything was working. You come in and, you know, you want to make adjustments at halftime. But, you know, really we're just sticking with the plan because, you know, we did a good job keeping them off balance. And, you know, we were throwing it. We had great protection. And guys were making a lot of plays in the passing game. So it was one of those days where that's what we needed. And, you know, they had a really good offense, and we needed to get ahead of them and make them play from behind. And we did that. And, you know, that's why it turns out the way it does. Yeah, and just keeping the pressure on them. I think, you know, you don't want to, you know, pull your guard in and just start taking punches. I think you got to still be aggressive. I mean, there's a lot of football left, so, you know, we want to go out and establish some rhythm ourselves, and we did that on the first drive. It was a great drive. And then you know, the second time we punted. We had a couple completions, got a first down, and then got stopped in short yardage, and then I think had a field goal there to start the fourth quarter. So, it was a good day offensively. I mean, we're going to need it. I think we're, you know, we understand what we're capable of, and it's good execution, good playing. On days like this, they don't always happen, so I think you enjoy it for a short period of time, and then, you know, we move on like we always do.
You mentioned, you know, be 6-2 after starting 2-2. That's really all you can ask for. Yep. Can you put your finger on what has maybe changed for the offense that has allowed the guys to be more productive since you guys were 2-2?
I'm not sure. You know, I haven't, you know, tried to evaluate that, or I just think we're playing better, and I think we obviously have a lot of confidence in what we're doing, and, you know, we got to keep doing it.
Is there something you see as a veteran quarterback to somebody who's younger might not see? Is the game sometimes just seem very easy?
I think there, you know, you rely on a lot of experience over the years and a lot of situations, and yeah, you get pretty quickly to the things that you have confidence in when you're out there. There's a lot of looks I've seen over the years, so it's hard to really surprise me with certain things, especially if we've been preparing for it. But I think, like anyone, you know, you're just trying to be consistent, dependable for your team. And I think a lot of guys on offense were like that today.
I know you're just coming off this game, so you're looking ahead too quickly, but what are your initial thoughts as you look ahead to another matchup with
him? I mean, we'll see. You know, like you said, it's you know, I think we'll like to kind of get through this game, and then it'll be a great game. It always is. So it's always pretty meaningful. You know, it's another game on our schedule that we got to, you know, bring our best toward it. I think we've, you know, playing at home and you know, understand the challenge that there is. We're one of the best teams in football, so we're going to need to play our best. Hopefully we do. I think all these games are, you know, they turn out differently. It's, you know, there's different matchups, and I mean, everything's different next week. So I think, like, you know, we did 4 weeks ago, we got our butts kicked against Kansas City. You got to put the game behind you and move forward. Understand, you know, the things you screwed up and the way that you need to play. And I think today we played the way we needed to play. We got ahead. We stayed ahead. I think that's probably been the biggest thing in the last 4 weeks is finally playing with some leads. And then you know, that's where you can really keep the pressure on. You got your whole game plan you could still use defensively. You know, you hopefully can turn it into a one-dimensional game like, you know, they did today, where, you know, they got to throw it a lot. But it's pretty tough to come from behind in the NFL. So it's good to get ahead. And if we do get behind, you know, we got to do our best to score more points and try to get the lead back. But, you know, it's a pretty good recipe when you're, you know, playing from ahead like we had the last few weeks. Thank you, guys.
All right, Tom Brady after the win today, talking about this win for him and the team. And I thought it was interesting that he made a point there right at the end, talking about where they were a month ago, where they were against Kansas City, getting their butts kicked, or however he put it there, and where they are now.
2-2 to 6-2, about all you could ask
for. He's
had
a good stretch here. The Patriots have had a good stretch here. Paul and I were just doing some math.
You were right, though, the first time. He and the Patriots.
Yeah.
He has been a big part of the good stretch.
14 touchdowns, zero picks in that time.
By the way, reports surfacing on the interwebs at this hour that Lamar Houston, after celebrating his sack late in the game and doing whatever it was that he did, that dance there.
He was just jumping.
Jumping.
Oh, you people. This guy, I mean, he needed fights this week.
According to some reports, he may have torn his ACL.
Correct. Following up Stephen Tulloch.
I'm not happy that he tore his ACL, Andy, but it's utterly ridiculous that you would celebrate to that length given the score. That's all I'm saying. I'm not happy that
Bill Belichick says, it's hard to make plays in this league. When you make one, you should celebrate.
You know when it's easy to make plays? When you're down 40.
And the backup quarter, the backup rookie quarterback's in.
They're only down 25, but still.
Well, it was 111 the first time he said it.
But it was still fun. Well,
that's what I tweeted.
Was it? Because when you said it on the show, you said 111,
yeah,
too.
That's what I tweeted, 111. You're down 111. You sort of just, I also used the hashtag Houston has a problem.
Andy, I'm not happy about it, but I also don't feel bad for him.
I do.
Why?
Because it's ridiculous. He jumped. It can happen.
I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for Tulloch either.
I don't feel bad for him, but I'm not happy that it happened.
I mean, you
played some people are going to laugh. Oh, damn, that's what he deserved.
You
deserve
play
it.
A brutal game and you tear your knee up. By the way, the LeGarrette Blount trade might be out too. Now that I see Le'Veon Bell laying on his back with trainers all over him.
Well, Tomlin's laughing, although he might not know.
Right.
It looks serious.
Someone's got to tell him they're playing a game. I think he's a terrible coach, if you couldn't tell from that sarcasm.
I could, Paul.
I couldn't tell. I'm glad you clarified it.
All right, let's get back to the Patriots. Enough screwing around.
All right, no screwing around. No fun.
So. I would actually like to look ahead a little bit. I know we have a pregame social, we have a full week, but to me, these Brady-Manning matchups, whether it's Colts and now Broncos, are worth as much time as you can devote to them. And it's not like 2 weeks of the Super Bowl where half the time it ends up in a blowout. These games live up to it. They're almost always, somebody might get a big lead, but there's a good chance whoever has the big lead is going to be holding on for dear life later at some point in that game. It happens just too often. And I think it's a phenomenal matchup. When you look at what Brady is doing now, what Manning has been doing all year and dating back to last year, the offenses, the fact that the Patriots, to some degree, are now fielding a Manning-like attack where he has more weapons to go to. It's good. In some ways, I think it's good that Julian Edelman is now an afterthought from what we learned last December, last January, and September of this year, when Julian Edelman was the offense, when it was, the 60% of throws and completions and all those numbers go to Julian Edelman. Well, now Julian Edelman can just be Julian Edelman and chip in with whatever it is, four catches, a big punt return, because Gronkowski is making plays, because LaFell is making plays. Maybe Wright is making plays. I'm not trying to paint Wright to be Julius Thomas, but maybe he can make a couple plays that matter. That's why I'm so damn down on Shane Vereen. Because apparently my expectations for Shane Vereen were way too high, but I know it's, he puts up decent numbers and he's probably on pace for, I don't know, some ridiculous, 80 catches or something, right? But I just look at these chances he has to make plays, to be a playmaker, a wower, like a highlight film, like we see, other guys, Darren Sproles, or even the new Oliver kid out in San Diego, playmaker. And he misses those opportunities dating back to last year, whether it's the wheel routes over the shoulder. Today, I don't know, maybe I'm being too hard on him.
Well,
maybe, but
I just feel like he could be a part of that. What we're talking about with Gronkowski, with the other factors developing, he could be a part of that, where he could have games where he's the guy that you go, wow. And it's not there.
There's a chance that maybe, you and I have overrated him. I mean, we've been very high on him. We've, even gone so far as to compare him to Marshall Faulk.
You think we overrated him?
So, obviously he's not at that level. But at the same time, some of the plays that he hasn't made haven't been plays that you need to be Marshall Faulk to make.
Right.
Like the drop today was a terrible drop.
Drop. Just a drop.
We know the problems with the wheel routes. Seems to be just a mental block that he has not been able to overcome. So I do think there's an opportunity for him to make more plays, and perhaps he will, but there's no question that we've sort of put him on a plane that he has not yet achieved.
855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, that's the phone number. We go back to the phones and we talk to Malachi in Brockton. Hey, Malachi.
How y'all doing?
What's up?
Great win today. It's good to, I think that this was the best offensive performance that we've seen, their defense, oh man, it looked horrible. I don't know how many times Brandon LaFell went on what it looked to be like a 10-yard slant, and they couldn't stop it. That 10-yard slant was giving them problems all day long. And, and Gronk, to see him just, what was that, like a 43-yard touchdown when he ran and That was beautiful, and I didn't know that. You know, he looked kind of fast after the, you know, after the catch. I didn't know he had speed like that. But just a great win. You know, I felt like the defense played well. You know, those three sacks that we had or whatever, those looked like coverage sacks to me. But, you know, sack is a sack, and I'll take it. Great win by us, you know. My question to y'all is, though, if we beat the Broncos next week, are we then called the best team in the AFC?
I think so. I think based on, you know, putting your early season struggles behind you and the way the NFL is now, there are no more wire-to-wire 15-1 teams. The way the NFL is now, you've gotten hot for a four-game span, and you knock off a team that most people right now believe is the best in your conference. I think you very much have the right to lay claim to we're the best team in the
There's
conference.
No question that you will be called that.
Right.
You know, whether you are or not, I don't know. But well, but if you beat the Broncos next week, you will be called the best team in the AFC.
And it'll switch.
You know, Indy's in trouble on the road here. Baltimore lost today. The teams that were up there, you know, sort of competing with Denver, San Diego's lost two in a row.
And it'll mean nothing.
If the Patriots beat Denver next week, you will be called the best team
just
in the
like
AFC.
It meant nothing after 3 weeks when the Bengals were the best team in the AFC. And it meant nothing after whatever it was, 4 or 5 weeks, that San Diego was the best team in the AFC. Now the Broncos, I'm struggling here with names, are the best team in the AFC. You knock them off. Yes, in week 8 or 9, you can claim to be the best team in the AFC. And
which
that'll get you
nothing.
Grand sum total of poop. Yeah.
Now, I feel like this has the potential to be a high-scoring game, you know. You
Jeff's know, taking the under.
He's looking, you know, he's taking off from where he left off last year, you know. I'm really trying to figure out, you know, the matchups for that game. I like Darrell Revis on Demaryius, but I'm not really sure if I like Browner on Sanders. I just think he's too fast for him. So I don't know if Browner's role is going to change, you know, each week. You know, I don't know how they plan to use him, but I feel like he played well today. That interception that McCourty had, you know, I didn't really agree with the call. I just seen, you know, a guy that tripped, you know, Browner tripped. They called him whatever. But, you know, great game, guys.
All right. Thanks, Malachi.
All right.
What did he say earlier? There was something I wanted to – I missed it. What do you think about the matchups for next week?
I don't like the matchups next week for the Patriots. I think that they have I think he makes a good point. I'm not sure they have – if you want to put Revis on Demaryius Thomas, I think
which
you can
I'm
get away
with
it. I think you're going to see some zone next week because I'm not sure that you're matching up as well next week. Maybe you put – I don't like Browner on Emmanuel Sanders or Julius Thomas. I think they're too fast for him and too quick for him. And I disagree today on that particular play. I mean, Browner tackled Martellus Bennett on that pass interference play. It wasn't Martellus Bennett didn't trip.
Times.
He was tackled.
100 times
fact,
out of 100.
The Patriots were quite lucky that somehow they deemed that illegal contact and not pass interference, which saved them about 30 yards of field position. Now, I think that was the drive they ended up scoring a touchdown on anyway, so it was a, you know, ended up being a, you know, moot point. But I don't think that he can stay with those guys, and that's a problem. I think you're going to have to play some zone next week.
Yeah,
How
and
do you feel?
I think they played a good chunk of zone today.
They certainly
and
did. Which you said they would. You
I don't.
That.
Yeah, I don't feel great about the matchups, but and I think your lack of pass rush certainly could get magnified even more against Peyton Manning and against his deeper weapons. You know, we're not even talking about Wes Welker, who is still a factor there. We're not even talking about Hillman, who has added something for them, a bit of a spark on that offense. And, you know, you're going to get tested by probably a deeper group of receivers than you saw today and by a much better quarterback than you saw today. And, yeah, I feel like there's a chance we could have a week where we say Brandon Browner, oh, that wasn't a great matchup for him, like Paul likes to mock me for when I give him excuses for matchups. But
well, you do. You have to admit that.
I do. I give him excuses. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah, I am fearful. I don't know. I'm just to the point where I like I said earlier, score some points. I think beat them 38-35 or 42-38 or whatever you need to do. That's kind of the mindset I'm in. Do I think the Patriots can shut down the Broncos? No, I do not think the Patriots can shut down the Broncos. I think the Broncos, at the very least, will roll out of bed and score 28 points in this game.
Yeah, I think that they're going to have a really hard time. I mean, really, really hard time shutting down that offense. You know, unless, like last year, the weather really becomes a huge factor. And that, to me, is really the only time you've ever completely shut down Peyton Manning is when weather is a huge factor. They're just they have too many answers. I think that they, you know, turnovers can obviously change the complexion of the game, but I think both offenses right now are playing really well, and I would expect a lot of points next week.
That worries me too. Patriots have been pretty clean for a while now. They could be due for a couple bad bounces. And I'm not even saying they crap themselves.
Just look at today. They easily could have. I mean, they had a bad fumble on an exchange today that got not. Usually when you fumble a snap, it goes right down and the quarterback pounces on it. That bounced away from the quarterback, and yet still the Patriots were able to recover it in the open field. So
white place, white time.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to, excuse me. It says, I think it's Tim in Florida. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Great game. You know, the Bears are a good team. We made a few more plays than them, and we were very fortunate to get the win.
Good call, Coach.
Not what we expected.
We destroyed them. We blew them up.
Yep.
Hey, you know, I said that, you know, neither that their defense couldn't stop our offense and vice versa. Well, I got the prediction half right. Man, I was sitting there at a sports bar, a bunch of my Patriots fan friends, and it was so bad that the Bears fan across the bar bought the entire table shot. I'm dead serious.
Yeah, it
dead
was
serious.
It's tough to be a Bears fan, I think, right now, because I think you came into this year with hopes that you were going to have a really good offense and you were going to be competing for not only a playoff spot, but who knows, and the bottom has just fallen out. And, you know, when they just handed, what'd they give Cutler, $120 million extension, 50-something guaranteed for 7 years. This thing hasn't worked out the way it was planned there. And now they're talking about Trestman being on the hot seat and being on the outs or something.
Well, you know, here's the thing about it. They were better without Cutler last year. Now, I don't think McCown's anything special, you know, as you can see in Tampa. But, you know what? I'm sure you got a lot of call. I just got two quick questions for you. The second question I wouldn't usually ask on a post game, but something might happen before our next game. Number one, and I legitimately don't know this, do you think that LaFell has supplanted Edelman as the number one receiver? Well, Gronk's the number one, but as far as wide receivers go, or do you think they're just kind of 1A and 1B right now?
I think LaFell is well on his way to being sort of a – I mean, three straight drives to open the game, their first throw was to Brandon LaFell. Now, as Paul said, he was bitch-slapping an injured rookie cornerback.
Oh,
so that's clearly dominant. Part of it, but I do think he is sort of developing and – the position he plays, the body he has, he's a more traditional number one type option.
Yeah.
So I do think that you're pushing Edelman into his more complementary role, and I think that's a good thing because you know he's capable of having a game where he has 10 catches and being a key player. But if you don't need him to have 10 catches, I think that's best for all parties involved.
Well, you know, I kind of agree with that. You know, one thing that kind of drives me crazy when we do an offense and, you know, I appreciate the role the slot receiver has, and LaFell's not a big downfield threat because of his speed limitations, but I'd rather send him down there because what kills me is every time we send Julian Edelman or Danny Amendola, who's like 5 foot something and is slow compared to other wide receivers down the field and thinking we're going to get a play. I mean, sometimes we do, but most times we don't, so maybe we can use LaFell in that manner. But that kind of ties into my second question. I just want to kind of get your thoughts, and I'll let you go, is that Ian Rappaport is saying that the Bucs are talking with more than four teams that have strong interest or have interest in Vincent Jackson,
yep.
And amongst the four teams are the Eagles, the Patriots, and the Seahawks.
Yep.
What do you think about that? Do you think the Patriots are strongly considering making a move, or are they just kind of testing the waters?
I think they're just testing the waters. You know, I blogged about that earlier, and it was interesting. Tom Curran had reported last week that the Patriots had actually tried to trade Logan Mankins for Vincent Jackson, 2010, I want to say, in the holdout, wherever that was, somewhere in there. So they have interest in the player. Why would you not have interest in the player? But I just, to see it happen, the reports out of Tampa aren't really sold that they are going to deal him. And with him for $9.77 million for the next couple years, we talked about this on the Patriots pregame social. They've never traded for a guy who didn't take a pay cut. And I think they would expect him to take a pay cut, and I wouldn't expect him to take a pay cut. So
yeah, I don't see Vincent Jackson taking a pay cut. You know, I would really, really like that type of receiver, especially when we get into some of the better teams. But
yep.
You know, it looked like there was absolutely no talent on our receiver base. And you know what? I don't think, to be honest with you, minus Gronk, our weapons are nearly as good as Denver's, but with Gronk back to 100%, I think we can manage to the offseason. I think, you know what, if everything goes well, we can win a Super Bowl with this team. But I'll go ahead and let you guys go, and see you next week for Denver.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. With Gronk, I don't think the weapons are as good as Denver's. Without them, they're clearly not as good as not only Denver's, they're not as good as a lot of teams' weapons. But with Gronk and the way they're playing right now, I think you'd have to be crazy to say they couldn't win a Super Bowl. Who's dominant? Who's roll out of bed great? Nobody, right? I mean, this is a competitive NFL season where if you believe in the Patriots' resume, they're going to be better in November and December than they are now. They win down the stretch. Then they're going to be in it. They're at 6-2, right? All those problems we talked about early in the year, they're at 6-2. Now, could be at 6-7 in five games.
Do you think that all of those problems that they've had are now gone? And
yeah. No, but I think a lot of
I don't believe that.
I think a lot of the problems have been solved by Rob Gronkowski.
And I also think a lot of people thought they'd be better than 6-2 after eight games, but given the schedule.
Yeah, it's a strong possibility.
They lost to two teams that nobody thought they were going to lose.
They haven't really
played. Well, but everybody said Miami was a possible loss.
They haven't played the real quarterbacks yet in their schedule.
No, I know, but guess what? I thought previously they might go into those battles not being able to keep up offensively. I think they can keep up offensively now. Do I think they're the number one pass defense in football? Nope. Do I think they're even in a significantly above average? Nope. I think they're probably right about an average pass defense to below average when you take into account the lack of a pass rush. But guess what? I think their offense and their quarterback are well above average right now. And Paul and I had argued about this. I said I thought Gronk was going to get better over the course of the season, and that would be a key factor for the positive of this team.
Andy looks like he's right.
If it hadn't happened, I think you'd be in trouble right now. I don't think we'd be raving about Brandon LaFell. I don't think we'd be talking about all these other things. But it happened, and you're going to ride that pony as long as you can ride that pony.
Yeah, I thought I thought that Gronkowski.
He's a horse.
I thought Gronkowski was going to have a tough time with that.
Let's take another timeout here. When we come back on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, we will hear from the head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, right after this.
Steelers putting it on the Colts.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Patriots with a win today in Foxborough. They stay home for next week as well when they take on Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. 4:25 kickoff next Sunday. But this game today, still the focus, and the Chicago Bears still fresh on the minds of Patriots players and coaches, including the boss man himself, Bill Belichick. Here's what he had to say to the media after today's win.
I thought that was a really solid effort by our team today. Players had a... did a good job all week in practice. Thought we had good execution, good energy. We came out and played with it in all three phases of the game. We had good contributions on our coverage team. Obviously, the punt return at the end of the half was a big play for us. Got some turnovers on defense. Ran the ball, threw the ball, scored in the red area. I thought we had a lot of players play well, and it was good to see the whole team, ready to go, playing with that kind of energy and execution, so it's a good, pretty good day for us out there today, and it's up to turn this one around quickly and get ready for Denver next week.
Phil, what have you seen in Brandon LaFell that has worked up to the point where he was ready for this kind of afternoon?
He's been doing it all year. I think we saw it in Kansas City. Big target, tough kid, really tough. Plays hard to tackle. So I think we've seen a lot of examples of it this year. Saw in preseason, see in practice.
We had a couple of, Rob Gronkowski had a couple of big catches on third down. It was a 3rd and 14 and 3rd and 18, and kind of quick hit fights on those.
Yeah, I mean, our third down execution was good. We got a lot of conversions, a bunch of different guys. Tim had a bunch of them, Rob, Shane. So. Tom threw the ball well, that we protected, handled some of their pressures, handled their pass rush for the most part. And we had a lot of guys that came through and got open, kept drives going. So, it's a hard team to get a lot of big plays on. We broke a couple tackles and had a couple longer runs, but for the most part, you got to execute a lot of plays against this defense. And our offense did a good job. Josh and the offensive staff did a good job this week.
Did Darrell and Brandon really show their value to the defense today, going up against two bigger physical receivers and doing a pretty good job against them?
Yeah, I thought our whole defense played very competitively against a good offensive football team. Talked about it all week. Good skill players, good quarterback, veteran offensive line, great running back. So, you know, we had to compete against everybody. I thought, you know, they all did a good job. Brandon, Darrell, Logan did a good job for us. So, you know, Patrick, Daron, Devin, I mean, they all. You know, you just can't take away one guy on this offense. You gotta handle all of them. So that's a big challenge for our defense. They stepped up.
Well, without Chandler Jones in there, obviously you guys had to make some allocations for how you were going to address his absence. I know you'll have to look at the film, but did you have any trepidation going in to say, okay, I don't know exactly what Easley and Zach Moore and Key Mayers will be able to provide?
Well, let's say it's, you know, Akeem hasn't been here, so that's a little different story. And the other guy's been here all year, so I think we have a pretty good idea what, you know, what we're going to ask him to do. And, you know, I thought they prepared and try to do it. So
at first glance, it would seem that things held up. I would suppose how you liked it, you would have drawn it up.
I'm sure there were some things that were okay. I'm sure there's some other things that we'll need to work on and improve. I mean, I don't think that, you know, the score kind of got out of hand there with what happened at the end of the half. I mean, we made some plays. We're fortunate. We had the turnover at the punt return. You know, we're able to convert those into touchdowns. I don't think that the score is really indicative of the game. And you know, the Bears are, I mean, obviously they played a lot of good football this year. And it kind of got out of hand there at halftime, but it was still, you know, it's a good football team. We'll see how we evaluate ourselves. Look the film and see how the evaluations look. Yeah, it's run hard all year. Yeah. You know, the offensive line competed well. That's a good defensive front. They got, you know, 7 or 8 guys they roll in there, do a pretty good job. And Jonas ran hard. He's done that for us all year. Did it in preseason. Does it every day in practice, training camp. So that's the way he plays. Thought he did a good job.
Did you see Rob building up to this kind of game today?
Yeah, he's about Gronkowski. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, he had some opportunities. He took advantage of a few of them, broke a couple tackles, thought he ran well with the ball after the catch. But, I mean, he's been a productive guy for us.
Bill, can you just talk a little, those who don't get to hear it all the time, about the relationship with Brady and you two in sync?
I mean, I love coaching Tom. Been fortunate to have him the whole career since he's been here. You know, we meet at least twice a week, sometimes more. Spend, you know, considerable amount of time together. I think that's important to have that relationship between the head coach and the quarterback, so that, you know, at least we're on the same page what we're trying to do. He has great feedback. Nobody works harder or prepares better than Tom does. He's as good as it gets in that category. He's got a lot of great ideas, very smart, experienced player, obviously, and does a great job executing the team game plan.
How much confidence would you say Tom's played with in the last 4 games or so? I think this is the third time in the last 4 games where he started off with a touchdown on the opening drive of the game.
Yeah, that's a question you should probably ask him. But, you know, again, offensively, it's about our entire offense. There's not one guy out there making all the plays. It's, you know, we got to block them, we got to throw, we got to catch, we got to run. We have to execute as a team, and I think that's a credit to the whatever success we have offensively is a credit to the entire offensive football team and the coaching staff. I think the coach has done a good job. I think we've seen a lot of improvement in some of our players and some of our units and our entire group over the first half of the season. Hopefully, we can continue to stay on that climb.
Bill Belichick there talking about a number of different things, including how I think he said privileged, or I don't know how he phrased it. We have to go back and listen. Coaching Tom Brady. Loves coaching Tom Brady.
Who wouldn't?
Meets with him a couple of times a week, the whole deal.
Wait, I thought he didn't have input anymore.
Says he meets with him a couple of times
a
week.
No, he doesn't have input anymore.
Who doesn't have input?
Tom Brady.
In what?
In the offense, remember?
that was
Chris Mortensen?
That was a theory.
Mort Report? No, no, was that a theory or a report?
I think that one was a theory, wasn't it?
I'm not so sure about that.
Or maybe not as much input. It wasn't that he had no input.
It was because, you know, he had all these young offensive linemen, so he didn't have input. Even the logic at that point made no sense.
Yeah.
Seems good now, huh?
Seems like things have been
Input's
fixed.
Fine. We're rolling, baby.
Good input.
14 touchdowns.
Good trolling, Andy. Good job.
Zero. Is the truth trolling? Are facts trolling? Thought he had no input.
Did a lot of people take a lot of stock in that particular part of that report?
No.
It was not a focus.
I didn't think so.
It was never
I didn't think that particular line generated a lot.
No, it wasn't really a traction. Focus. I think it was the other stuff in there that was a bigger focus.
Oh, that he wants out.
Yeah.
Does he still want out?
I don't know. Someone's going to ask him.
As Bill would say, that's a question you probably should ask Tom.
Someone asked Steve Young.
I'm just happy that Jonas Gray has been doing it all year. Really, Bill? He's only been active 2 weeks.
All year. All year, Andy. Guys were great in practice all week.
He caught himself on that one. Back to the preseason.
Right. He added that, so you know what I mean. And yes, not surprisingly, they had a good week of practice.
Good week of practice. They always do when they win.
Yep.
They always do.
It's funny. After they lose, it's out-coached, outplayed. Got to coach it better. Got to practice it better.
I would like him to say after one loss that, you know, I really felt like we had a great week of practice. You know, we just didn't translate.
I've heard
game.
Other coaches
and
say
that's
that.
Happened. And
you know, I was really disappointed because I thought we were really prepared. We had a great week of practice. We felt we were ready, and we came out and we laid one today.
And speaking of trolling, we've often, as a media court, sort of trolled for that answer.
Right.
You know, Bill, did you see any signs of this leading up to the week? You know, and he never bites. We just got to play it better, coach it better.
Of course.
And as you accurately pointed out, he did have a nice Fred Kirsch burp in the middle of it. What do you think he drinks right off the field?
I'm guessing...
He's got to have some gas in
it. I'm guessing a Diet Pepsi is his drink of choice.
But definitely a carbonated beverage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because he has that a couple times a little.
I'm guessing he's a Diet Pepsi guy.
Certainly. I'm guessing. I forget.
That's unfortunate.
Paul's a Diet Pepsi guy.
What do you mean
guy.
That's unfortunate? You're a Diet Pepsi guy.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe you guys could
share
what? What did you
Maybe you guys could share a 2 liter.
Stuff got mixed up there. Yeah, you guys could sit down, couple cups, 2 liter of Diet Pepsi, men.
And
come
away
out
you go.
All arm in arm.
Couple of men.
Bill, Paul.
I don't think he'll be doing that.
You guys get stuck in an elevator together. The Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you. Let's go back to the phones. Josh in Virginia is up next on the post-game show. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Josh?
Hey, so I just have a couple things I want to say here. I want to take a look at a little interesting aspect here. First of all, I just want to say don't necessarily be so hard on Browner. It's only his second game back. So getting condition-wise, I thought he played really well. And he brought him in here to play against the Alshon Jeffries of the world, who we used to put Kyle Arrington on and got beat 100% of the time.
We were very high on Brandon Browner today, not down on him. That was one of our goods today.
Yeah, I think he took the 10 days between the Jets game and this week and made good use of it because he was not gassed. He was able to go out there and compete, and I thought you saw some of the good physical play that he can bring to the field. And certainly you're right. That's a good matchup. Big receivers are what he should be succeeding with. But, yeah, I thought he took a nice step forward today.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you brought him in here for. I think that he'll definitely be better as the season goes on. But here's my interesting aspect as far as facing Denver. And I want to see what you guys think about this. After they crossed the 50, what if you took Devin McCourty, you have Darrell Revis on Demaryius, you have Devin McCourty on Emmanuel Sanders from an athletic matchup. He has experience playing corner, and you have Daron Harmon over the top with Kyle Arrington in the slot, and you specifically put Browner on the Julius fades in the red zone, you know, towards the red zone area. I'm taking a look at this. I think that's a very decent matchup to have rather than having McCourty at safety and Emmanuel beating your second corner, which Brandon Browner clearly isn't going to play against. What do you guys think about that?
Well, you said when you crossed the 50, I'm not so sure about that. Down in the red zone, I have no problem with Brandon Browner on Julius Thomas. I think some of the matchups you're talking about do make a lot of sense. I think Paul's right in that just manning up Browner on Julius Thomas in the middle of the field where speed could be more of an issue and there's more room to work, I think might be a little problematic. But I think pretty much any matchup you go for other than Revis on X, you might be problematic. I mean, that's why they're so good. The quarterback and combination of receivers, they're challenge a defense in unique ways, and you got to try to find a way to combat that. I think some of that will be zone. You mentioned Kyle Arrington. He's a guy we talked about earlier. I don't know the situation with Kyle Arrington and even Alphonso Dennard. I mean, you can certainly argue, if you would like, that Alphonso Dennard was a healthy scratch today.
Yeah.
Malcolm Butler played. Logan Ryan played a lot. Kyle Arrington played late. That's interesting to me if in any level Alphonso Dennard is a healthy scratch.
Charlene writes in, webradio@patriots.com. Guys, how does Revis make this year's version of Brady Manning different from other years?
I'm not sure it does, really.
I don't think it does.
I don't think it does make it different. It feels exactly the
same. I mean,
I
tell you how it could make a difference if he doesn't get hurt in the AFC title game, like Aqib Talib did.
He is theoretically
a more durable player.
I mean, when this started, the Brady versus Manning thing, the Patriots have had some good, really good corners.
Ty Law.
Hall of Fame level with Ty Law. Really, really good in Asante Samuel. Yeah, I mean, they've had
Even if Revis comes up with a game-deciding play, that wouldn't necessarily change the Brady Manning thing. Game-deciding plays have been made by defensive backs in this series.
And the flip side of it is they may have, a little quick thought here of about 15 years, they have maybe the best corner now, right? Oh, well, Champ Bailey, no, he wasn't there. So, yeah, this might be the best that Manning has in terms of corner with Aqib Talib.
Yeah, but we've seen these games come down to final drives, and sometimes the final drive results in a score that wins the game. And sometimes, I mean, even like a guy like Jermaine Cunningham pressured Manning into a throw, I think, that Jimmy Sanders picked off.
I know
off,
Jimmy
right?
Sanders picked off.
That was probably like 5 years ago at this point. We're going back a little bit, but we know about Ty Law has won these games in the past. I mean, if Darrell Revis comes up with a game-clinching play or a game-deciding performance, then I think it just adds another chapter to the rivalry, absolutely.
Just quick update. I had been thinking that Ben Roethlisberger was looking to one-up Brady by throwing a fifth touchdown.
Yeah, he threw a pick?
No, he tried the Tom Brady shotgun pooch punt and got it blocked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've never really seen that. It certainly hasn't happened to Brady when I've been here. Yeah, he did the shotgun and 91, came off the edge and blocked the pooch punt.
All right.
That is an oddity. That is an oddity. But, you know, what are you going to do? You're a little tricky there. Why don't you just have your punter punt?
Nick in Illinois writes
always
in,
works for Belichick and Brady.
He writes in, hey, guys, I loved the production of the offense today, so I wanted to chime in on the Vincent Jackson discussion. They are humming along right now. I really don't want to make any moves that would throw that out of whack.
And he could. I certainly think he, as a $10 million, big play, big-bodied, nipple-pierced receiver, he's the kind of guy that I think could come in and sort of disrupt the apple cart, as they say. I don't know if he would, but if you feel like you like what you have right now.
And I don't know how you cannot like what you have right now.
Right.
I'm not saying that this is what you're going to get every game, you know, and forget today. I'm talking about consistent offensive production every game. You might not get it every game, but right now, I think they've sort of settled into a pretty good I think they have enough weapons. I don't think weapons are the problem.
Regardless of what you think of Vincent Jackson, how good he is Gronk insurance, is that valuable enough to trade for him? You're rolling right now. But you were rolling in the middle of the season last year, too, offensively. You know, that maybe this is your Pittsburgh game from last year, whatever. Is
right around the same time.
Can you theorize? Yeah. That Gronk could be out and you need to have this guy waiting in the wings. Is it worth it to
do that?
You've got
bigger needs.
I agree.
You've got way
bigger
needs.
But I also think you would be better in January with Vincent Jackson and Gronk out than with not Vincent Jackson and Gronk out. So I don't know. I'm just going to cover all my bases over on this side of the table.
So you think Vincent Jackson is so much better than what they have. And I agree he's better than what they have. But you think it's to the point where you're substantially better if you have him if there's no Gronk.
Yes. I think if Gronk leaves, there's a chance people are saying, oh, there's that third tight end, Brandon LaFell, again.
With
and
a
there's
new,
that
with
little
new
3 yards
though,
and a catch.
Edelman. I'm not sure that you can say that about a guy who would be coming in on the fly in the middle of the season.
I told you, that's a fly in the old ointment.
Okay.
Chad writes
covering
in.
Covering them all.
Want to read another email?
Chad E.
He goes, hey, guys, Brady's playing at his best. Almost better than 2010.
Yep.
Jonas Gray. For his first game, did a very good job.
Second
game, but that's okay.
Been doing it all year, actually.
There's
a one
the preseason.
There's a 1-2 punch with Vereen.
You're right.
Stork had a few miscues. It seems not operational with the up-tempo offense.
Wright is integrating himself more and more in the offense. Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall and Jared Allen are jokes. And Aaron Dobson is a lost cause. Sorry. Keep it up, Chad.
If Brian Stork were the kind of guy that I had a relationship with and actually he answered questions, I would like to talk to him off the record to the side and just, you know, are those movements, was it an issue with the snap count, or were you trying to do something? Were you trying to give a little flinch with the left hand and then snap it, trying to draw something? But you'll get nothing out of him. I mean, you could ask him what day it is and he's going to tell you, I don't know.
The situations didn't call for trying to draw something because it was fourth and goal from inside the one. Drawing them offside doesn't really help you.
So you think he effed up, or you think he has a nervous tick?
No, I think he screwed up. Nervous tick.
It's like a tell. When he has a good hand, that left arm starts shaking.
He's got a nervous tick. A little nervous tick makes him nervous.
I actually stunned Paul on that one.
All right, guys. So
nervous tick? What are you talking about?
Are you ready for Manning, Brady?
I hope you are.
I am.
You're not going to give me one of those like curmudgeon radio, go, oh, another week of Brady.
No, this is
great.
To
me, this is phenomenal.
This is great.
This is awesome.
I just don't like talking about who is better. That's the only part of it. Like,
that's annoying.
I just.
But this is going to be great. And you know what? Here's what I would say to everybody. You never know how many more of these you're going to get.
Exactly.
That's the part of it that I love.
That's what I thought last year, because Fred Kirsch was telling me Manning was going to fall off the map.
Yeah.
He hasn't. You know, neither has
Brady.
You know, it's not just, you know, because they're going to fall off the map. It's just that, you know, the schedule.
We are watching Bird and Magic before our eyes.
Right.
That is what it is. You are going to look back. Your grandkids are going to be watching, you know, 30 for 30, 10, 20, 30 years
on
from
this.
Now. And you're going to be like, I lived that. I enjoyed it. I watched that every time. Ooh, I remember 16. 16 was that one where Manning came in. It was Brady at the slow. Like, we're living history. You don't get that every week. Just because you beat the Bears this week, it wasn't really history. You know what? This is history.
So it should be a fun week getting ready for this game, and it will be an awesome game next week, and we'll be here for it starting Sunday afternoon. We got a 4:25 kickoff, so 2 o'clock that we're going with.
2 o'clock. We'll be here, baby.
2 o'clock with the PPGS.
Brady Manning. And Patriots Colts.
We'll be getting ready for it.
Gronk and Thomas.
It's Brady Manning 16. Thanks for listening,
Gray
everybody.
And Hillman.
Great win for the Patriots today. We'll see what they can do next
week. Tlaib and Revis.
I'll let Andy wrap it up.
I'm out.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devil in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Pats host Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. Kickoff is set for 4:25 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune into the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.